This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Hello, and welcome to Landwise, Promoting Sustainable Crop Production, a podcast series about sustainable ways to grow food in New Zealand. I'm Georgia O'Brien, Extension Coordinator for Landwise based in Hastings. Landwise has been around since 1999, helping farmers and growers to develop and test new practices through on-farm trials and extending cutting-edge research to the farm or orchard gate. Through our podcast series, we are bringing the insights of lead researchers, technologists, and farmers to listeners from all over the ag and hort industry. Each month has a theme, with guests joining us weekly for discussions. At the end of the month, we'll have them back as a panel to talk together and respond to your queries. This month, we're looking at Harnessing the Power of Microbes, brought to you by our platinum sponsors, BASF, Hawke's Bay Regional Council, Vegetables New Zealand, and Processed Vegetables New Zealand. I'm excited to be joined today by Philip Schofield, a soil nutrition consultant with ABRON. Philip has a PhD in plant science from Massey University, where he studied autotoxins, herbicide residues, and pathogenic fungi in asparagus crops. He has many years' experience in soil conservation and nutrient management in the Hawke's Bay area, and will be chatting to the podcast today to discuss the role microbes play in soil-plant interactions and practical ways to improve soil health on farm. Thanks for joining me, Philip. If I could start, how do soil microbes contribute to productive and healthy crops, and how can we as farmers and growers support them?
The plants get all their nutrition by transactions with the soil and microbes. So over recent years, we've increasingly used soluble nutrients to support plant growth. However, the natural system that plants have evolved using means that all nutrition for the plant roots are delivered by bacterial and fungi and archaea, microorganisms that we don't understand many of their names or functions, but the plants and the microorganisms live in a symbiotic relationship, and the net result is very balanced nutrition to plants, and not a concentration of N, P, K and S as we currently use with soluble nutrients.
Right, so we need to think about the biological systems rather than just the chemical nutrients that are available in the soil.
Correct, and that's probably the first thing that a farmer thinking about building a healthy soil needs to do, is to recognise that plant nutrition is mediated by fungi and bacteria that live in the soil, and therefore anything that we can do to nourish them rather than harm them or encourage them or even enhance them, we get a different result with our plant growth and our plant health.
Right, so what are some of those strategies that we can use to support fungi and bacteria in the soil, which then enhances our crops?
Probably the most important one is a shift in thinking by growers to consider that the things that live in the soil are quite important, and therefore they need to consider the inputs that they're making to their soil in that regard. So the things that do a lot of harm to fungi and bacteria in soil are herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, and the soluble nutrients. So that means a change in thinking for many farmers to adopt healthy soil practices. And the first step, as I say, is to minimise harm to the soil.
Right. So then if we're moving away from some of those synthetic inputs, what role do soil inoculants have in a sustainable farm system, and when and why would you use them?
Soil inoculants are a rather confusing space in the current environment, because we have many companies excited about the prospect of improving soil health and have identified various bugs that they think will do that, and therefore these inoculums are available in the marketplace. Some of them are useful, some of them are less useful, and in all cases, if we're considering enhancing the microbial activity in soil, we've got to do that hand in hand with minimising the damage to that same ecosystem. What this means is, in practice, many people like me that help farmers and coach farmers on building soil health tend to, rather than add microbes, try and enhance the activity of what's there by minimising damage and using microbial stimulants, some of which you've seen in the marketplace, things like kelp or seaweed, humic acid, which is a very widely used biological stimulant, fulvic acid, which is used also as a biological stimulant on leaf surfaces, so with foliar nutrition. And the other thing that's very important is protecting the microbial relationships with the plant by minimising the amount of soluble nutrients that's in the soil. Mycorrhizal fungi, for example, have a very strong relationship with most plant root systems. They extend the plant root systems by up to 100 times, and the mycorrhizal fungi are connected to soil and plant roots and deliver nutrients and water to plant roots in exchange for nutrition from the plant through the root exudates.
So I guess I would ask next, how do farmers and growers monitor their soil health, and how do they know if a particular strategy is improving things or making things worse?
Right, so the easiest and quickest way to look at how healthy a soil is to use a visual assessment. So dig holes and have a look at what's going on. There is a New Zealand published visual soil assessment that many practitioners use called the VSA that was published by Graham Shepherd many years ago, formerly a Landcare scientist. And that product, that process is very useful in as much as you dig a hole and measure about 20 factors about the soil structure and porosity and the plant root systems that you can see in the soil. By monitoring soil structure, soil porosity, plant root systems visually, you can see whether or not anything that you're doing is improving those. So a visual soil assessment is a good starting point, and it's also often a discussion point with a farmer I have to show them how big the root systems are at the moment, whether or not they're clover, if they're a pastoral farmer, whether their legumes have good rhizobial relationships, and whether those rhizobia and nodules are fixing nitrogen. These are all things that you can see by digging holes.
Right, cool. So you talk a lot about minimising damage first before we start changing up our strategies. What about intensive cropping farmers where cultivation plays a large role in their farm systems? How can we support soil microbes in these sort of systems?
By minimising cultivation. So soil disturbance is very tough on the things that live in the soil. That's why we do cultivation. We usually do cultivation to kill plants and to create a seedbed, a fine seedbed. However, that process does destroy the habitat of the things that are living in the soil, and it also exposes soil surfaces to oxidation. So building a healthy soil normally means minimising cultivation practices. Use of minimum tillage and no-till practices is quite important. and keeping the soil covered at all times is important to minimise damage to the life in the soil and to minimise oxidation of the things in the soil.
Yes.
Now, also, minimising the use of things like glyphosate that translocate through plants and exist in the soil and damage soil bacteria and fungi. Building a healthy soil in a cropping system involves minimum tillage, use of cover crops, and also increasingly we're finding the use of diverse mixes of plants give us rapid improvements in soil structure and soil porosity, soil function, and that's a practice that's encouraged with cropping.
Right, so I guess there's lots of things to consider, and farmers should be adding and incorporating strategies as part of a integrated farm system.
Yes, I liken it in the case of cropping or permanent crops, viticulture, growing fruit. I liken it to using IPM strategies, so minimising the damage and using as many of nature's aids as we can. So biocontrol agents, for example, monitoring the need for insecticides or herbicides or fungicides rather than using them routinely. And there are ways to minimise the impact of those herbicides and fungicides too, using biostimulants.
Any final advice for farmers and growers looking to improve soil health?
Yes, get a coach to help you investigate what your soil looks like at the moment and plan a course of action that's going to improve soil structure, soil porosity and plant root length and density.
Great. Well, I think that summed it up really well, Philip. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great to hear your insights on improving soil health through microbes.
Thank you.
The Landwise Promoting Sustainable Crop Production podcast series was brought to you by our sponsors. We appreciate the generous support from BASF, Hawke's Bay Regional Council, Vegetables New Zealand and Processed Vegetables New Zealand.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.